All right. Well, here we go. This is one of the most, I'm not sure if preparation is the right word. I've put more of my own personal heart and sought out God probably more on this particular message and the one following next week than I have in the 3 years that I've stood up here and shared with you guys. And I've done that because I feel, and you've already heard expressed a couple times, that we are approaching a fork in the road, so to speak. We're approaching a time very quickly where we're going to have the chance to either move forward into the things that God has for us or to slip away. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is vision. I want to talk to you about the vision of our church, the vision of Buckhead Ridge Christian Church. And you might say, well, Tim, what is vision? And I would tell you that vision is what God uses to allow ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. I would tell you that vision is a specific and a singular purpose that guides and directs the energies and resources of an organization. It can guide and direct the energies and resources of our church. You know, in a world that we live in, where everything is competing for our interest and our attention all the time, vision is the lens through which we can look and see those things that are most important. One of the fundamental tasks that I've been given as the pastor of this church is to present to you a vision. It is to bring to this congregation not only a defining, but I hope a driving vision for the future of this church. Today I want to share with you a little bit about what is our focus, what is our purpose. And ultimately, when you tie it all together, I want to talk to you about what is our vision. You know, in the business world, corporations, they can achieve long-lasting success, or they can slip into obscurity based upon their vision, based upon how it's presented and how it's implemented. Sometimes that vision they present is too narrow. You guys probably have seen many companies this way. The vision proves to be too narrow, and very quickly they become irrelevant. And they're irrelevant to their consumers, irrelevant to the public, and they fade away. Some corporations, their vision is too broad, and they risk wasting valuable time and resources on things that don't have anything to do with their long-term goals. They also fade away. In some ways, I believe our church, churches across America, face very similar problems. We need, as a church, we need singular focus. We need specific purpose, and we need steadfast vision to ensure us that we are moving towards, not standing still, but that we are moving towards and accomplishing the good works that Jesus Christ has placed before us. We have to have something to drive us forward. Otherwise, what will we do? We will sit in these chairs week in and week out, and we won't do anything. We need to be moved forward. We need a vision that is specific enough to keep us focused on the task at hand, but we also need one that's broad enough that we can fully utilize the many gifts and talents and skills that God has brought into this congregation. You know, Solomon, that the Bible describes him as the wisest king, Solomon, said this about the importance of vision in Proverbs 29, verse 18. He said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish. The accurate application of that proverb for us today is that a church without vision, we will perish as well. You know, every year in this nation, 4,000 churches close their doors. Did you know that? Every year, 4,000 churches close their doors. Churches just like ours. Churches full of people who love Jesus just like we do. But those churches perish because often they have no vision. Sometimes they might have a vision, but that vision has been forgotten or it's been forsaken. They decided it wasn't worth pursuing any longer. Now, the way that presents itself in different churches is in different ways. You know, many times we see the effect of not having vision,
but we don't realize the root cause. Many times, it shows itself in financial problems. The money just simply runs out. Now, I will share with you guys, we're a very transparent congregation here. We have nothing to hide. And I will share with you guys, 4 years ago, the money ran out. 4 years ago, we were on the brink of closing the doors in this church. So I understand that idea. And what happens often is that people begin to consider their own vision. They all have their own little small vision, okay, of their own ministry, but they lack a larger vision for the church. And therefore, everybody does what seems best in their own eyes. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I coming through, Greg? Okay. Maybe just not over here. You know, in those times, that's what happens. Is everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. But nobody is understanding that they are both responsible to and accountable to the larger mission at hand.
We're having issues with our sound? Okay.
Give me just a second, guys. I'm going to switch mics. Well, we do the recordings, and honestly, it is a ministry that we really want to continue to grow, that people can listen if they're not able to be here.
Close or thank you, Lord. many churches close because of financial problems. But I'll tell you, financial problems for a church aren't really financial problems. They're vision problems. Okay? Some churches close because of attendance. Many times, churches, you know what? The attendance dwindles down so much over the years that they just can't warrant meeting in this huge building anymore. I can't tell you how many times in the last year I've heard sad, sad stories about churches that were built 30 and 40 and 50 years ago to house 200 and 300 people. And today, there's 10 or 15 people attending. I mean, what happened? Well, many of those churches, they had vision, but it proved to be too narrow. They did not invest in their future. Their vision wasn't long term. They didn't look into the future. They paid little or no attention to the importance of having thriving children's and youth ministries. You know, many of them, the needs of their communities became marginalized and pushed to the side. Their vision became completely inward focused. Their only purpose was to survive. They forgot about serving the community that God had placed them in. Their vision became far, far too narrow. Many of those churches, even today, you know, they pay great lip service to the Great Commission. You know, the go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. They pay lip service to that, but they stop short of letting that idea penetrate into their hearts, much less into their budgets. But now maybe we're the exception. Maybe Buckhead Ridge Christian Church, we're the exception. We're different, right? How important do you think it is that we have vision? We're the exception. We're different. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. Well, let me ask you this. I want to help you answer the first question with a second question. If tomorrow those doors shut forever, and the next week this building was torn down, would it make any difference in this community? I hope so. But I think that's the hard kind of question that we need to consider. Is, are we really making a difference in our community? Would they even notice if we weren't here? You know, the average church in America today, you know what the attendance is? 84. 84 people is the average attendance of the church across America. Some a lot more, some a lot less. You know what that means about this church? That means we are right in the middle. We are in the middle of the pack right now. But I'm going to tell you something, and I would argue this to the end, that I believe that we may be average in attendance, but God has blessed this congregation with an above average amount of talent and skills and willing hearts to serve. Now, we could do two things with that. Either one, we could become very prideful. Look at us. That would be a bad idea. Okay? Or two, and this is what I think we need to consider, is that we need to realize that God blessed us in that way, not so that we can boast, but because God has above average plans for this church. He's looking for above average results from these people. He's not looking for just average. There are too many hearts in this room, even at this very moment. There are too many hearts that God has called, and they're answering the call. Guys, God wants to do great things in this church. But it requires vision. It requires us to be unified, to be on a specific purpose, to have a singular focus. How will we get that kind of vision? How are we going to establish something that will allow us to accomplish such great things for the kingdom of God? How are we going to do it? Well, the first thing we should do is we should spend some time identifying and considering those things that are most important to our Lord and Savior. As we try to determine what we should be about, our example has already been shown to us. And we should consider what is most important to God. What is most important to Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, all right, we see in one verse, you know, the greatest man to ever walk on this earth, fulfilling the greatest mission of mankind, and he defines what that mission was in one verse. That's amazing. I've heard people in Washington talk for hours about what we're doing in Afghanistan, and I still don't have any idea what we're doing. All right? Jesus described in one verse his mission. Luke 19:10. He said this. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. He summed up, again, the greatest rescue mission this world has ever known in one verse. You know, Jesus' biggest concern, his biggest concern is not which color the carpet is. Jesus is not focused on being the biggest church or having the most and best or most spectacular programs. His primary purpose was not to be the most dynamic or eloquent speaker that ever walked the earth. His primary purpose, his biggest concern, the thing that affected his heart the most, was to seek and to save what was lost. That's what he was all about. From start to finish. To seek and save. Guess what? As of Sunday, March 27, 2011, do you know what? His mission still has not changed. Still hasn't changed. It's the same mission today. But is his mission our mission? Is his purpose our purpose? Is his vision, is that our vision? You know, if we're honest, I'm not going to ask you to be, but if we were honest, probably every person in here would admit that many times we are much more concerned about ourselves than we are about those who are lost around us. Much more concerned. But consider this. Buckhead Ridge, Lakeport, Moorhaven, Okeechobee. You know what they all have in common? They're full of lost people. They're full of lost people. Jesus' vision was to seek and to save those people. Not just the people in Israel 2,000 years ago. He's interested in your neighbor today. He's interested in your co-worker today. But are you? Are you interested? Is that your vision? Are we concerned about the eternal souls of our friends, of our family, of our co-workers? Or are we just more concerned about what they think about us? how we look in their eyes. What's your primary concern? What's your primary purpose? I think we're all guilty of that. Everyone here. So how do we change? Tim, you're right. I'm guilty of it. I'm more concerned about what people think about me than I am about their eternal soul. Now, how do I change? You got to change your vision. You got to change what's most important. You know, you got to change your vision both individually. We have to change in our own hearts. And guess what? We need to change as a church. Corporately, we need to change as a church. We must adopt a new vision, not only in our own hearts, but also in our own homes. We need a new vision in our church. We need something that's going to drive us into tomorrow and not allow us to be comfortable sitting here today. I wish this morning I could cast that vision for you about your own personal heart. I wish I could tell you what your personal vision should be. I wish I could talk to each of your families and share with you what a particular vision should be for your home. But that's not my responsibility today. The responsibility that I've been given today, what I've been charged to do, is to establish a vision for this body of believers, for this faith family. That's what I want to share with you today. One, a vision that is in line with and focused not on anything that I think, not on whatever the world is saying, but a vision that is focused on what Jesus Christ Himself said was most important. Now, assembling that vision, as I told you, has taken some time. I've been working on this probably for the better part of at least 2.5-3 months. And, you know, I got to tell you, in that time, I've talked to probably a lot of you in this room. And you've shared your hearts and your minds and your opinions with me, and I've shared mine with you. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, this morning, our vision for this church will not be established by the will or opinion of man. Instead, it will be firmly rooted. Instead, it will be built upon the foundation of God's Word. And that alone. Because guess what? Your opinion and my opinion, tomorrow, it'll change. Tomorrow, what I think is important, I won't think that's important anymore. But God's Word does not change. And therefore, our vision will be established on the Word of God. So I want to share with you now three scriptures. Three scriptures this morning that God has shown me over these last several months. These are profound and strong pieces of God's eternal Word, all right, that I believe He is going to use to help us build, use them as building blocks for our vision here at the Ridge. The first one this morning is 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 9. I'd encourage you, if you got a highlighter or a pen, make some notes here, because these are things you're going to want to go back to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." What a wonderful verse. Let me ask you something. How different would your life be today if you really believed that? How different would you live today if you really and truly believe that you are a chosen person? If you really believed that you were a part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, would that change how you lived? Guess what, friend? If you've made that decision, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You are not your own. I am not my own. We belong to Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our souls, and He is the master of our destinies. And because of that, the only logical and reasonable response is for us to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. That's your only logical response. If you are not your own, if you are owned by Jesus Christ because of the work that He did on your behalf, If that is all true, your only logical response is to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. That's logical. People say, oh, you know, the Bible, you can't be intelligent and believe the Bible. Are you kidding me? There's no other logical response. Now, those of you this morning who perhaps you were doing just fine without Jesus, then you're excused from that verse. Okay? But for the rest of us this morning, for all the rest of us who recognize so clearly that our minds were completely shrouded in darkness and that our lives lacked any real purpose or meaning, for you and me, we should shout out praise. We should be shouting out the incredible fact that we have living today in the wonderful light of His salvation. That should be on our lips all the time. The first building block of our vision this morning from 1 Peter 2:9 is that we must declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. That's the first building block that we're going to use to assemble this. We must declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. The second one, I need you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5 says this: "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You know, one of the kind of interesting things that I always like to hear, and it usually comes up in the Sunday school classes, you know, and sometimes in us older kids, our conversations as well. But I always like to hear what people think about heaven. I always enjoy to hear what people think heaven is going to be like. In fact, on Wednesday night, I had one of our deacons tell me that if you don't like peanut butter, you're going to be really hungry when you get to heaven. Okay? Because he is convinced that heaven is made of peanut butter. Now, I don't know if that's scriptural. Okay? But I can tell you this, the peanut butter pie we had on Wednesday night, it was pretty heavenly. Okay, so there may be some basis to that. All right. Now, while I don't know for sure if peanut butter is made of heaven, or heaven's made of peanut, I don't know. Okay, I'm not 100% sold on that. One thing I do know about heaven, okay, one thing that I am absolutely sure about is that when you get there, there won't be any need for a moon or for a sun to cast light upon our new home. There will be no need for it. You know why? Because according to Revelation 21:23, it says that city, that our eternal home, our future home, it does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. That I know for sure. Peanut butter, you can have your own, whatever. Okay? I know that part for sure. So let me tell you this. Returning back now to 1 John 1:5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." Building block number two for our vision this morning: God Himself is the light of the world, and in Him there is no darkness. Finally, part three, Acts chapter 26. You have to go back a little ways. Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18, starting about halfway through 17. Luke writes, "I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Let me give you a little bit of context here real quick, okay? This passage is a recount. It's Paul sharing with another believer, actually sharing with a potential believer, okay, what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He was sharing with him the words that the living God spoke to this brand new believer on the road to Damascus as he was changed forever. But let me tell you something, that's what they are. But they are also something else. They are also the words that the living God is speaking today to each and every heart in this room. To every person who has made that decision, and you are a new creation. You are a child of God. Today, He is speaking these same words to you. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. He is sending you. He is sending me. Those words should ring just as true to us as they did to Paul that day on the road. You know, God could accomplish His great purpose of bringing the lost, seeking and saving the lost. He could accomplish that purpose by any means that He wishes. God is not hindered or handicapped by anything except for His own word. Okay, God could accomplish it by any means in creation. But having said that, how awesome is it that He has chosen as His tool to accomplish this great task, He has chosen you. He's chosen you. He has sent you to bring them from the darkness and into the light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. He chose you for that work. God did not say, Danny, I might be sending you. God did not say, Jeremy, I'm thinking about sending you. God did not say, Nancy, there's a possibility that sometime in the future I'll be sending you. God said, I am sending you. Pretty cut and dry. I am sending you. Building block number 3 for our vision. We believe that we have been sent by God to the lost. We have been sent so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. Now, if you take those 3 things, those 3 building blocks, and we place them together, you can begin to see a vision. You can begin to acquire the vision that we have here at Buckhead Ridge. We are sent. Our vision is that we are sent to overcome the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. We are sent to overcome the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be about. That should drive us in everything that we do. Any ministry that we have in this church, we should be able to place it alongside that idea and say, how? How is this sending someone? How is this sending me to overcome the darkness through the light of Jesus Christ? Next week, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about where we're being sent, about how we're going, and about some of those dark places. But as we conclude this morning, I want to challenge you. In fact, I want to challenge you and encourage you at the same time. You know, undoubtedly, there are people in this room right now who are thinking to themselves, Tim, I could not possibly overcome the darkness. You know, I was in the darkness myself yesterday. How could I possibly overcome the darkness today? God must be talking to someone else. Believe it or not, the prophet Jeremiah, he felt the same way. Prophet Jeremiah, we hear his heart in Jeremiah 1:6, and he said, Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. You know, that was Jeremiah's way of telling God that, hey, buddy, I think you made a mistake. You need to call someone else because I don't even know how to speak. I'm only a child. Please choose someone else. But I want you to hear now God's response to Jeremiah, because it's the same response to our doubts today. Beginning in verse 7, the Lord says, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. That's God's response when we say, Lord, you got to talk to somebody else. I'm not your man. I'm not your woman. God says, Don't say that. Don't say that. You must go wherever I have sent you and say whatever I have commanded you to say. You are not your own. You know, the same awesome God that empowered that young man, Jeremiah, all those thousands of years ago, that same God is the God today that will empower this people, that will empower you, and that will empower me to fearlessly preach the Word of God. Now, you might have been saved yesterday, or you might have been saved 50 years ago, but guess what? It's the same God, okay? And He's promising you the same thing if you will accept that kind of vision. Guys, we will, by the grace of God, we will overcome the darkness by the light of Jesus Christ. We will. God has given us victory over the darkness. The question is, are we going to be content with sitting in these chairs, or are we going to go? This morning, I'm just going to tell you, you won't go anywhere if you're holding on to excuses and all the reasons in the world why not. Trust me, next week you'll find yourself in that same chair and you'll be thinking the same thing and nothing will change. So today, I want to challenge you. Okay, I want to challenge you to leave your excuses, to leave all of your the reasons why not, to leave them right at the foot of that cross, to leave them right at this altar, and to decide that you are going to be someone who's committed to overcoming the darkness. Because He's called you. You didn't get out of jail free there. God has called you to this great work. This morning, I'm going to lay down my own personal opinions. I'm going to lay down all my own personal desires about what I think this church should be like. And I do have them. And instead, what I want to accept from God is what He wants this church to be like, is what kind of church He wants us to be. We are sent. We are sent to be overcomers. We are sent to overcome the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. But we're not going to go anywhere if we hold on to those excuses. I don't know what you'll do with it. I don't know. Today, I'm going to leave it right here. All right? And today, as we pray, if I pray alone, guess what? My decision won't change. I'll still leave it right here. But I hope this morning that you will find a place next to me. I hope this morning that you will also lay down your excuses and all the reasons why not right at this altar, and that you will answer His call, that you will be about overcoming the darkness. Lay down your reservations. Your mind, trust me, right now this doesn't make any sense. Okay? But this is called faith. This is where faith comes into action. Lay it down. Lay it down and know that God can do exactly what He has promised to do. Can you even imagine for a moment what God can accomplish in a group of people who have a common vision? In a group of people who have a singular purpose? A primary focus. Can you even imagine what God can do? God turned the world upside down with 12 men who had a common vision. Nothing's changed. The question is, what will you do? Will you stand with me, please? Now, as the music plays this morning, I want to challenge you to join me today. I want to challenge you to join me right at the steps of this altar. I want to challenge you to join me at the foot of the cross of Christ. And together, let's lay down those things that keep us, that are holding us back from accomplishing the great plans that He has for our lives, the great purposes that He has for our families, the great vision that He has for this church. As the music plays, I encourage you to join me.